The following is a teaching by Ivan Apana, founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban South.
Point, Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I want to make this a study this morning, okay? When it's a study, you take notes. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, note the word, the Lord's house is a mountain in itself, which means that sight from the Lord's house, it must be able to project something that will influence its metron or its setting. The Lord's house is supposed to be impactful. So when I say church, do I mean a place or do I mean a people? Talk to me. So when we talk about church, we talk about a people. When we talk about the kingdom, we talk about the business of God. So the church is the human resource used to project and to push forth the business of God. So Jesus never spoke about church in all his teachings. He just mentioned it once or twice in the whole New Testament, but he spoke about the kingdom, about his rule, your rulership. Now, I want us to place all of this into perspective as I'm going to throw seeds out this morning. And I want you to collect them and put them together and design your diet. But you must be palatable for this diet. Come on. Create the right palate so that the food that you get into your spirit man is not regurgitated, but it is absorbed into your system. This is what we want. We want it to go into us so that it will be impactful. Now it shall come to pass. When the word of God, if you said it's so powerful, the word, and when it says it's going to come to pass, what does it mean? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It is a must. It's going to happen. It's come to pass. That in the latter days, the days in which we live, are these the latter days? Yes, these are the latter days. But Pastor, you said this, you're saying this for so many years. From the time we opened the church, it's latter days. Yes, these are the end days of the Holy Spirit. These are the latter days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. Note that the Lord's house is one mountain, but there are various other mountains, but the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house, supersedes all the other mountains. I want you to take some notes this morning because I'm going to talk about, just give you all the mountains, and we're going to look at the mountains or the majestic projections of the mountain of God. It's like seven lightnings going out of this mountain. Going out. You are part of that. So you got to get to know it in and out. This is our training ground on earth this morning. How are we going to live out our lives for eternity? This is your training ground. So the mountain shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. There's one of the teachings that I'm going to do. I'm going to show you how a false order takes you as far as the hill, anointed order takes you to the mountaintop. There is a system that the Bible talks about that will take you to the hilltop. That is a Shebna type of leadership, according to Isaiah chapter 22. Please read that chapter, because when we discuss it, you will have an understanding of how I will speak about Shebna versus Elikim. Two orders. One will take you to a hilltop, the other to a mountaintop. Hallelujah. Now, we can't stop at a hill. But a hill is like a small mountain. We have to get to the top mountain. And the mountain that we have to position ourselves in is called in Christ. And that mountain is above all the other mountains. You got that? So let's look at it. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all peoples shall flow to it. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Many nations shall come and say, Come, come, come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. So what we are doing here is a microcosm of the big picture that we have to get used to. And if you can't gather like this here, I have news for you. You'll feel like a fish out of water when we meet in this place called on the mountain of God. This is our practice. Amen. Amen. Many nations shall come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. And I want you to underline in your Bible his ways. Because when you come eventually to the mountain of the Lord's house, you can't have your ways. You can't choose what you want. You have to follow in line to his ways. That is a motive of that church, the end time church that Jesus is building. And I want to show you right now that church that we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 12. It describes to us that church. To the house of the Lord, he will teach you his ways, and we have to walk in his paths. How's that? We have to follow his ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are more concretized than our ways. Solidified, powerful, supernatural, gives you what you want instantaneously, his ways. I tell you, that's how easy it is when we follow his ways. So what should your prayer be? Lord, show me your ways. Give me the script for my life from your ways. I want to get to know your ways, Lord. Pray that. Keep praying that, because that is how, that's a motive. Every church has got something in the front. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And sometimes outside, there's some branding of that church. This is the branding of the mountain of the Lord's house. His ways and his paths. And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, say Zion. I'm going to go back to Zion, because I can't transition to the next point and ignore Mount Zion. Why? Because the Lord said in the book of Acts and the book of Amos that he's raising up the tabernacle of David. There is a more illustrious temple of Solomon, but that's not going to be raised up in the end time. There's a more elaborate tabernacle of Moses, three rooms, elaborate with gold and braiding and all types of material. But God says, I'm not raising that up. I'm raising up just a marquee or a tent of David. Simple, non-complicating, easy to get through. I want that tabernacle. So God's not interested about your riches, where you live, what you want. He's looking for a tabernacle called a clean life that will adopt his ways and have his path. That's all he wants. Is that easy? It's easy? Yes, it's easy for us. So we must not try to impress God. He's beyond that. Before you even try to conjure up a plan of how to impress him, he already knows. He already knows. He knows the beginning from the end. And I tell you what, he's looking for something that is simple, something that he can be quickly read, and something that is sacrificial. And the word, for out of Zion, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, beloved, the end time church, which is the mountain of the Lord's house, is only built on the word of God. The word of God is prominent. That's why, beloved, in the book of Acts, when we see the four pillars of an apostolic culture, there is prayer, there is the table of the Lord, there is fellowship, and there is the word. You can't go pray unless you first are acquainted with the word and you place word priority. And if you have the word of God dwelling inside of you, you will easily, easily, easily know how to fellowship with God. Because he is the word.
And when you fellowship with him, you have no choice but to live a sacrificial life at the table. And then you go to pray. Imagine I'm going to pray and I have not sacrificed my laid my life down at the table. Because the table speaks about me laying my life down. And then how do I go to pray if I am not having fellowship with one another properly? Prayers will hit the ceiling and come down. Are you with me? What convicts me? It's the word of God. That's why the end time church will have the law of God and the word of the Lord. And that is what it is made up of. That's why if we intensify in the word of God as a church of Jesus Christ, the practice that goes on in this place, I tell you something. God will look at us with favor. Amen. So, let me tell you today, we will share about this more and more. That's the house of God. That's the house of God. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 5, because Revelation is going to show us a few things this morning. Revelation chapter 5, let's read this whole thing, Revelation 5. Revelation 1 introduces us to the apocalypse or the end time revelation. We understand what's going to happen. And then gives us the condition of the church. And immediately John on the Isle of Patmos. I understand how the Isle of Patmos is geographically because I went there. We spent a day in the Isle of Patmos, the exact place where John received this revelation. Mama Val and I covered the five islands, the Greek islands, and one of them was this isle, the Isle of Patmos. And we saw the exact place where John received this revelation. It's cordoned off. It's become a place, you know, commercialized now, tourist place. John received this revelation of Jesus Christ. One of two things is how you interpret it. One, it's about Jesus Christ, and secondly, it belongs to Jesus Christ. You can take both of them into consideration in your hermeneutic interpretation. Both of it can come in. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Number two, immediately John is taken to an elevation higher than the earth. And he first sees the revelation in chapter 4 from above. That's why we study the ascendancy of our existence from above. And everything that goes on above, you've got to be acquainted with it. And in this, Revelations 4 talks about the setting of the throne room. And Revelation 5 then goes on to talk about some things that are so essential. And John said, "And I saw at the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." Can you see this document? Got seven seals on it. Seven seals. And you break each seal and it gives you a message. And the one that's seated on the throne is the Father. He's seated on the throne. And he has this envelope or this document with seven seals around it, with seven messages to us. And no one is worthy to open that. Can you catch that vision? I'm trying to paint it. "Then I saw." Look, note the word in verse 1, saw. I saw in the right hand. John is seeing through a vision. Verse number 2, "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?'" What a question. Ringing out. These words are ringing out. But before that, you'll see in chapter 4, there are four creatures. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. The man speaks about the lion of the tribe of Judah. The ox speaks about a servant. The man is the Son of Man. And then the eagle that John speaks about also in his book. Saint John, the Apostle John, speaks about the Son of God. So you got four pictures around the throne, and then no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth, verse 3, was able to open the scroll or to even look at it. When John saw this and he heard this in his vision, the Bible says he started to cry and he wept that no one was worthy to open this divine scroll. Silence in heaven around the throne. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, saints of God, you are the body of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are part of that. Imagine, angels were not able. Elders weren't able. But you, the body, together with the head, Christ, put together. Imagine, Jesus said, he has a body, and his body is you and I. Come on. Hallelujah. And I looked, note the word, chapter 6, verse 6 rather, looked. Verse 1, I saw. Verse 2, I saw. But now I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns. The word horn in the Bible has to do with authority. What? Authority. Seven has to do with complete or full authority. It's for this reason Jesus said in Matthew 28 verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. I have access to Jesus. He's the head over me and I am his body, and so I have this authority. That's why with confidence he said, you can go to presidents, you can go to your unsaved families, you can go to anyone and talk about me because I will back you up. Verse 19, he says, therefore go into all the world. You can go. You can approach anyone because I have the authority. And so we see in heaven this picture of seven horns and seven eyes. Means complete illumination. God knows everything, sees everything, even the slightest thing that you may discuss with yourself, he knows it. He knows your thoughts, he knows your ways, he knows everything about you and I. Seven eyes, full illumination. You may hide from your spouse, you may hide from your children, you may hide things, but he knows the columns, he knows the areas of your mind and what you're thinking right now while you're listening to me. He knows. And he knows the intents of our hearts. Seven eyes, full illumination, nothing hidden from him. Hallelujah. And then I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne, four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. And he goes on. Verse 8. Now, he took the scroll out of the right hand of Father. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Fell down before the Lamb. Each having a harp, a golden bowl full of incense, and which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. And I think we must get ready to sing this over and over again because it's our practice song, for a song that we will sing for eternity. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. imagine your destiny and purpose in the earth is being spoken of not in a backyard, but in the throne room. The Lamb is saying, and all the elders, the creatures, and all the hosts of staff in the throne room, they are making it known today that you that are seated here in this venue, you are not a pauper, you are not a beggar, you are not a degraded citizen, you are not Nahav, you are a king and a priest. Your destiny has been spoken of in the throne room, not in a club, not in your backyard, in the most important place, the throne room. Where there's a throne, there's thunder, there's lightning. And out of that, it has been said that the Lamb gave His blood so that each one of you here will walk in your destiny as king and priest. Wow, I'm going to run with that. Don't feel jealous when some of us will catch this revelation and live to it and identify ourselves as a king and a priest. Come on. As a king, I walk with regality and I have more than enough. I am not indebted to the system of this world called Babylon. And we will talk about that. Long before this was said, you go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. You'll find that God had this in His mind. He's speaking to the children of Israel. And you know that you are the Israel, the true Israel of God. All blood-washed saints that have the blood of the Lamb on your forehead, you are the true Jews. Show me one Jew that is poor. Show me one Jew that is not. And some of us are living as true Jews. Some of us still need to get there. But we're going to get there. All you have to do to get there, you got to choose His ways and His path. Say to yourself, come on, don't be proud. I want you to say to yourself, my ways are useless. It fails me all the time. Say it. I'm not going to have my own ways anymore. I'm going to adopt His way. Come on, say it. Your flesh doesn't like to hear that, but say it. It's the truth. The truth will set you free. Say it. I cannot manage without Him. You can see where I'm 50 years old in this earth and see where I am now. I'm 40 years on this earth. I got nothing to account for. I'm not living as a king. I'm living as a servant of this world. Change that. Come on, change that. Change that. That's why when we get to the series on glory, some of you may not agree with me, but glory has to do with riches. Living an illustrious life under God's covering. This is the end time church. The inception church may have had all its faults in the book of Acts, but we're not the inception church. We're the end time church. Latter church. We are saints of God. Much has gone through. Martyrs have paid the price. Apostolic fathers have gone through phases so that we could get where we are today. At the end of the end, somebody pay the price for us to bring us to where we are at the moment. Exodus 19:6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And we know that the Jews are a pattern for the true Jews who are the children of God, you and I. No Gentiles, no Samaritans, no this and that, no male or female. We are all one in Christ. Now, if in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, it has been said that you are a kingdom of priests, which means we are priestly kings or kingly priests, whichever you way, but we are a kingdom of priests. And then when we come to the last book of the Bible, it has been said again and confirmed in verse 10. Revelation 5:10, and having made us, which means that we were made. The word create is bara, which means things are created from nothing. But when you are made, it means there was some raw material that was used to craft you. When God created, he created from nothing. Is that true? He had nothing. He only spoke into existence and happened. That's the word bara, create. But when we are made, which means that we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were known as strangers, but through the blood of the Lamb, we were brought nigh into the covenant again. What we lost in Adam, we regained in Christ. So now, when we pray, we must not pray as we are nothing. We pray as we are kings and priests. So a priest and a kingdom of priests pray differently from those that have nothing. Your platform has changed. Are you with me, church? So the quicker we get this adjusted, the quicker we can start influencing, impacting, and bringing the coming of Jesus Christ closer. Who will do that? Us, the body of Christ, who are resident on the earth. The Lamb is on the right hand of the Father. I hope I'm making sense. And then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, their elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, innumerable to mention. And this is the loud voice they cried out. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. These are the seven attributes of majesty. What are the seven attributes of majesty, church? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessings. Seven attributes of majesty that has to be carried by the end time church. If these are the seven things that make up the mountain of the house of God, seven majesties, attributes of majesty. That's how the church must be. We must practice this. Come on. All seven must be resident in this practice center. Power must be here. Riches must be here. Wisdom must be here. Strength must be here. Honor must be here. Glory must be here. Blessings must be here. And I could preach a series on each of those. Now, all the other mountains must look up to this mountain, the mountain of the house of God. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. So there you have mountains, you have hills, you have mountains, but you have the mountain of the house of God. All the mountains must bow down to the mountain of the house of God. So let's look at what are the various mountains that we have to bring into this. Before we go there, Revelations 11:15. Because you need to know this. I don't want any of you to live substandard. You must live in your calling. Live in where you live. Okay. Let's read together. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, so all the other mountains that are kingdoms of this world must eventually bow down to the mountain of the house of God. All of these leaders of all these mountains must run to the mountain of the house of God. If you go back to Micah, they said all these people ran to the house of God. Now let's look at what are these. I'm going to close here. Power in the house of God is in the world. We have government. Riches in the house of God has to do with economy. Gabriel spoke about mammon. Wisdom, the mountain that has to bow down to wisdom is education. The economy has to bow down to the riches in the kingdom of God. The government has to bow down to the power in the kingdom of God. Families outside have to bow down to the strength in the kingdom of God. Religion must bow down to honor in the house of God. The arts and entertainment controlled by Jezebel, which is what they celebrate. Am I right? That's why they call celebrities. They must bow down to the glory in the kingdom of God. And finally, media, which is the richest avenue in the world, must bow down to the blessings in the kingdom of God. So the power, the riches, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, and the glory, and the blessings in the kingdom of God must allow each of these various mountains to bow down. Government, economy, education, family, religion, celebration, media must bow down to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the last verse here, verse 13, and read. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne. Who is that? Who sits on the throne? Father. And to the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Son. Forever and ever. The order that is in heaven, that's where Jesus prayed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means the order in heaven is Father and Son. Father and Son is not male and male. It's a spirit of fathering that is even contained in females. It's a spirit. A spirit has no body. So the spirit of fathering and the spirit of sonship is the spirit that is evident in heaven. Father and Son. The Father on the throne, the Son on the throne. The Son is sitting at the right hand. And then the four living creatures said, Amen! And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. I'm going to go on sharing on this. There's so much to share on the end time church and the mountain of the Lord's house. I want to tie that up to the Elijah revolution. I'm going to just note today as you stand, that Jesus the Lamb is both Savior and Lord. Many of us know Him as Savior, but we don't know Him as Lord. And we have to train you to see Him as Lord. Because the moment you see Him as Lord, you see yourself as a kingdom of priests.